Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance will come in with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
Only smart people get up early enough to listen to the Francine Marie Show. So thanks for listening, smarty pants.
Good morning, campers! Pick up your coffee cup, make a cup of tea, pour yourself a beer. Hair of the dog, it's the Francine Marie Show!
Good morning, thanks for joining us. We have got a great segment for you today because we're going to give you some facts about voting in North Carolina during the COVID-19 pandemic. Joining us today to give us a pre-political kind of, hey, this is what you need to do kind of show. It's Reagan Adoodle. She is our chair of voter services for the League of Women Voters. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
You are the woman. Like three sources said, you've got to get Reagan on.
Oh, well, that's nice to hear.
Before, we never knew how wonderful and awesome we were pre-COVID-19, right?
Right. It's nice to know that I am awesome. I am out there.
How long have you been with the League and how long have you been interested in politics?
I actually have only been with the League since 2017. I've always been interested in politics. My family was very interested in politics, but, you know, raising kids and doing other things, I just hadn't had a chance to join. But as I learned more, I thought, and learned more about the League and what it was, I really wanted to get involved. My first experience with them was helping our new citizens get registered to vote, which was just a really wonderful experience.
And I love how I can pull someone from your organization and you talk right down the middle. You know, you don't go to the left, you don't go to the right. I didn't realize how much absentee ballots are going to mean in the future, because from my understanding, was it 3 or 4% that the Board of Elections would receive? But now they're projecting 40%?
Yes, and that is going to be a huge change for them. Typically, I know I did, and I think most people think of absentee ballots for you are not going to be here. You are not going to be able to physically vote. And now we're trying to make people realize they are more both mail-in and absentee. So in our state, we're lucky enough to have no excuse mail-in or absentee ballot. So we are really pushing people to go to either the League's website, which is vote411.org, or the State Board of Elections, and download the form to request an absentee ballot now. The sooner the Board of Elections gets it, they can start planning for how many absentee ballots they're going to have to mail out. So, and you are not required to vote absentee if you get a ballot. You can decide you can't do both, clearly. But this gives you an option because we don't know what the fall is going to look like.
Okay, so we need to get that ballot, that absentee form now. I didn't realize that you had to get the form and then the ballot.
Yes, you do. You have to request. So your first thing you're going to do is you go to, you have to download the form, print the form, and the person who's requesting the ballot has to fill it out. If you have a disability or you need help, you can have a close family member fill it out, and they'll also have to sign that they helped you. Once you fill out the request for the absentee ballot, you have to snail mail it back. It cannot be faxed back or email back. You can either take it in yourself or it has to mail back.
Got it.
They won't send out or start sending out the absentee ballot until the beginning of September. So once you mail your request, it's not like you're automatically going to get your absentee ballot. I don't think they have everything ready. So in September, you will get your absentee ballot in the mail. September, October, depending. And that's, you know, volume related. They may take a while to get everything out. Once you get that ballot, that again, the person that you have to fill it out. If someone needs help or has a disability, they can have an immediate family member help them. Sending it back, you now also need two witnesses that you are the person, not just one, but two. And either that or you can have a notary. Once you signed it, you filled it out properly, you've had your two witnesses, then you mail it back.
If they were, the Board of Elections were receiving 3-4% before COVID-19 and now they're expecting 40%, I'm assuming they need to bump up their game with employees.
Yes, and that, you know, I think they're really in the beginning stretches figuring this out. I know communications that I've had with them, they encourage you, if you're going to get one, you know, request an absentee ballot, do it now. They'll have to up their game with employees. They'll have to up their game with paperwork. When you only mail out, you know, 100, and now you're mailing out 10,000, that's a big difference. Bringing them in and counting them, storing them. It's going to be a very challenging time because not only are they dealing with absentee ballots, but they're dealing with the uncertainty of what the fall is like for in-person voting as well. You know, the more heads up that they can get and for what's coming their way, I think will make their job easier.
Right. And we've been thanking our hospital workers, our medical workers, all those in the healthcare field. We're always thanking them during this COVID situation time of unknowingness. But we also want to thank, special thanks, to the United States Postal Service workers. Wow.
Yes, we do.
They have been on top of their game. Yes.
They will be very busy come this fall, that's for sure.
Okay. So in North Carolina, we're talking about early voting, folks. We're talking about voting period. And let's go through those three ways that we can vote. Because there's always been three ways. There's always been options, Reagan.
Right. We are lucky in the state that we do have three ways. The first, you know, is our traditional, you vote on election day. So the federal election this year is November 3rd, and you can go vote. If you are voting on election day, you have to vote at your assigned polling place. You can find out what polling place that is, then I'll plug our vote411.org, and you can put your name in, and it comes up with where your polling place is. If you want to do early voting this year is from October 15th to October 31st. Good thing about early voting is you don't have to vote at your assigned polling place. You can vote anywhere within the county you live. So if you are driving down the road and you see, you know, early voting, you can just pull in there and vote. Another good thing about early voting is if you are not registered yet to vote, you can go in, register to vote, and vote at the same time for early voting.
Reagan, is that new?
No, that is not new. That's a thing people don't realize that, but if you just have completely forgotten to register to vote or say there's a hiccup at the DMV when you registered or you just moved in, you can register to vote and vote at early voting. So early voting is a really, really good tool, a good time to go vote, I say. You rarely have to wait in line, anything. And then now, you know, we also have the absentee ballot, which if you're going to be out of town, if you know you can't physically be here, and now with the uncertainty of what the fall will be like, and you want to make sure you can cast your vote, members who come in at risk demographic, and you think, nope, I don't want you going out to the polls, but let's, you know, do this. This is a great option for you to be able to vote without having to worry about it. Those essential workers, you don't know what your schedule is. If you do absentee ballot, you don't have to worry about fitting time in to go to the poll. So those are the three ways that you can vote here in North Carolina.
Got it. And so I know that you don't have to have a license in order to vote, but I bet you have to have a license in order to register to vote.
You do not have to have a license. When you register to vote, we'll talk about registering to vote here for a moment. You can either, I typically used to say we were a pen to paper state, but with COVID, things have opened up just a little bit. So if you are new to our state, or if you've moved, you need to change your address or change your name, you can either go to, again, votepolaroom.org, download the voter registration form. You can go to the State Board of Elections, and you can download a voter registration form. And you'll have to physically fill that out, remember to sign, people always forget to sign, and then mail that in to your county Board of Elections. If you are new to the state and you're changing your driver's license, typically the only time you could register at the DMV is when you were doing a transaction, getting a new license or doing something like that. And then you could register to vote then. With COVID and the uncertainty that's gone on, the DMV is now accepting standalone voter registration forms. And so you can just go in, go to the North Carolina DMV site, and there's a button to register to vote. And as long as you have a valid North Carolina driver's license or a North Carolina issued ID, you can register to vote, or you can change your address or do anything like that there as well. Now, when you do that, there's a line on there that says, you know, you either put your driver's license number or the last four of your social, so that when they check your registration, you know, they can run it against something. When the first time you go to vote, then you need to have not so much an ID, the voter ID has been put on hold, the proof of residency. So if you have an ID, that's great. Otherwise, a power bill or something that shows your name at the address that you've registered to vote.
I know when we were getting our new ID from the North Carolina Department of Transportation, they're like, we need the original birth certificate. So there's so many little bitty things, but to jump online, which you can do right now, it's vote411.org. Find out all the information that you need to know voting during a coronavirus. Reagan's joining us this morning, and she's with the League of Women Voters, and we are so appreciative of you. I know I've got about 10, 15 more minutes with you, and I wanted to circle back, and that is the importance of signing that absentee ballot. A lot of people forget to do that, Reagan.
Yeah, they do. And it's one of those things that you can't imagine you do, but there's a lot to sign there. And I know I've actually had known people who have forgotten to sign, or had children who have forgotten to sign. And I know the Board of Elections in the past, I think, has tried to reach out to you, say this ballot's not complete, and send it back, saying, please complete this ballot. I don't know if with increased volume and everything else that will be going on, they will have time to do that. So when you're filling out your absentee ballot and you need your witnesses, that's a good time for everybody to look over that ballot and make sure everything is checked and signed. If you have a notary, then instead of witnesses, the notary should do that as well. Checking your paperwork, signing your paperwork. And I believe you will be able to go to a spot on the State Board of Elections and find out if your ballot has been received so that you know that they got it. So that's another good way you know things are going well. Mm-hmm. And something about the absentee ballots I thought I would just quickly mention. If this fall, where maybe people are wanting to shelter in place more, or those that are elderly and at risk and live alone, they may get their absentee ballot and they'll fill it out and sign it. Then where do they find witnesses? So if you know someone who is might be in that situation, you might want to reach out to them and say, hey, are you going to vote absentee? Are you going to need help? Are you going to need a, not help, but witnesses? So that people aren't unable to vote because they can't have someone witness their absentee ballot.
If grandma, auntie, uncle, friend is in a living assistance kind of situation and we are sheltered down, can a nurse help? Can a doctor be a witness?
Not sure how they're going to work that, right? Someone is in an assisted living facility, need help, assisted living facilities, and because they're trained and part of the Board of Elections, they can help these citizens or these residents with their absentee ballot. We go back into another, you know, lockdown, or they don't want visitors in these facilities, how they will work then helping these residents.
They have trained people that will help. I love it. Because the Board of Elections, when they train someone, they do a thorough job. I really like that.
Oh, they do. They do a very thorough job, and they are very conscientious about what they're doing. I've been impressed with how thorough they do these things, and it's a well-oiled machine. Training, they know what they're doing.
And speaking of educating, League of Women Voters, you guys do a little bit of tutorials in education as well. I like that.
We have several programs that we do, because part of voting is understanding why you're voting. And, you know, we are all interested in the big federal elections, but helping people understand that it's the more local elections that really have such an impact on their lives. So we have several programs that we run. One that's very popular is called Civic 101, and that is a 5-week course that is run by current and past government officials to educate people on what the various forms of the government do, how they affect your life. The Board of Education, the court system, how that operates, so that people can kind of understand when someone's running for a position, why they're running for it, and how that's going to affect you and your family, their position on a certain issue. So voter education, getting people engaged in the process, I think is a really important component of what the League does.
You know what? That sparked a light. Civics 101, because you know we took this in school, right? But it was so not interesting. You guys are welcome adults.
The 5-week course is a wonderful program. I believe we have put it on hold for the fall because, again, we don't know what's going to happen. But, yeah, there's usually there's about 60 people in a program. And you each week you go to a different building and learn about what that branch, what those people do, so that you know what you're voting for and you know what your taxes are getting you and you know what these officials are doing. And then you know why it's important that you can go to the polls and vote.
I'm assuming since our COVID-19 situation that the federal government is giving the Board of Elections a little more money so that they can hire more folks, that they can buy more papers for those paper ballots. I mean, that's a huge business right there, the printing service alone. And that's the cost of politics in 2020.
Well, not only the printing service, but if you think about the fact that we are unsure how in the fall, you know, this unprecedented time we're in, we are used to having all of our polling places. But in the fall, will you be able to host polling places where you traditionally have? So I think not only are they going to have printing and all that, they are probably going to have to find new polling places, different polling places. Our average age of our poll worker is 70 years old. The virus kind of kicks up in the fall. You may not have as many poll workers who are very well trained. You have to think about the poll workers. You have to protect them. So PPE, masks, gloves, all that will have to be bought. Down to, I've heard they're thinking about everyone would need a pen. You don't want to share a pen. So it's going to be an interesting time for them, and there will be, you know, they will need more money.
One last question, and then please add whatever you need to add to this. But I'm so fascinated on this absentee ballot. When we mail it in, we're going to use our own stamp.
Yes, we are going to use our own stamp. I believe, I cannot say for sure, but there are states like Washington who does mail-in ballot. They actually have certain states like Washington that has already in place mail-in ballot. You mail-in vote. They do have places that you can collect, like the old-fashioned corner mailbox that you used to put your mail in, but you put your ballot in there, but you don't need post. You will need postage now. I know when my son voted absentee last year as a college student, I said, now you're going to have to get a stamp on this and take it to the post office. And he looked at me like, I don't have a stamp. You know, college kids don't have stamps. So that got to be a problem, but it will need to be stamped. We do not have pre-stamped absentee ballot envelopes as of yet.
Got it. And address college students before you leave out, and we're so appreciative for Reagan joining us this morning. What about college students? What about students in general?
I find they are engaged. I go to high schools and we do voter registration, and I find that they are more engaged than I think people they get credit for. Our voting, the absentee voting is not as easy as you would like it to be. So some of the, I think, students participate the way at college don't do it because it's a multi-step process. And then if they go out of state, do they want to register in the state that they're in and vote there? Do they want to stay here, but this specific don't live with their family? So it gets kind of confusing, but I'm really impressed with the effort that these colleges put forth. In September, there's National Voter Registration Day, and they get the kids plugged in. So I think that the college students are pretty active. It's the absentee ballot, how you vote. And I know this year, we have filled out an application for an absentee ballot for my college students, but we're having it mailed to the house, not to where he goes to school, because we don't know where he's going to be. And if he's not at school, then that's where that ballot will be sent.
We want to thank Reagan Aduddle, our chair of voter services for the League of Women Voters right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, who have historically been the voice and the teacher and the guide for some of us who are just not politically savvy. And I want to thank you for that. And Dolores, I want to thank her for that. And the team, you got any shout outs right now?
Oh, I'd like to shout out to my whole voter services team. Typically, we're out there, you know, hosting voter registration tables and educating people and helping people get plugged into the importance of voting. So I would like to shout out to everyone that I have worked with.
Thank you, Reagan, and you enjoy the rest of your day.
Well, thank you very much.
All right, we can go to vote411.org. That's vote411.org to find out all the information we've talking about this morning. Share the link, share the information.
You're listening to the Francine Marie Show. We're popping out for a quick cup of tea, but we'll be right back. This is my jam and jelly, y'all, on the Francine Marie Show. Spread that show out, girl. Spread it out.
Please, please do not harm us. We have come to your planet for one thing. The Francine Marie Show. It's the only content we can digest.